We're in week three, speaking of power and presence, we're in week three of this series called Armor of God. And what this series is about, it's about being strong in God's power. It's about knowing as much as you can about the battles that we face each and every day. It's knowing what you're up against when you walk out of this place on a daily basis, but it's also knowing what's been made available to you through Jesus Christ. You see, I want our Ridge family, I want us to be able to stand up and go eye to eye, toe to toe with all those things in this world that just seem to come against us, all those battles that we face every day. So with that being said, what kind of battles are we talking about? Let's review for just a minute. The first week, we started with the enemy within, and we said, you know, that old sinful nature. Paul talks about an old nature and a new nature, and we battle that old sinful nature all the time. And you know this is true. Anytime you've ever done something and you're like, why did I do that? Like, why do I keep doing these things, right, that I know I'm not supposed to do? That battle that we face inside that just wants to ruin us sometimes. And then last week for Father's Day, we talked about fighting against Satan, the enemy, and that your father doesn't want you to be unprepared when you go into battle. So God actually gives us armor to wear that we pray on, right? And we talked about praying on the various pieces of that armor, which is so cool to really kind of think about, that you got to get suited up. God wants you to get suited up. So the first enemy is inside. The second enemy is Satan in the world around us. And then this third one, I want to talk about the world around us and how difficult this place can be. How hard it is sometimes to keep the faith in a faithless world. Let me explain. Like, how can I be expected to remain so strong when this world just beats me up, when it's just so draining, when it's so overwhelming, when it's so discouraging, right? In a world around, how many times have you turned on the TV, or how many times have you gone throughout the day and you just thought, man, there is nothing good happening around me, right? And sometimes it's easier just to think that we want to give up or give in to what the world is doing to us. This thought crossed my mind a few weeks ago when I was serving with our team at Rose Hill. For those of y'all that aren't familiar with this, every month we have a serve team that goes out to feed the less fortunate once a month on Tuesdays. We even have some members at our church that go each and every week, but our week is the second Tuesday of the month. But whenever I go, I'm always amazed at the conversations I have with the people that are there and how their stories are just overwhelming to hear what this world has done. Like, I've had conversations with people that live in tents because they got kicked out of their homes, right? I met someone a little while back who followed her boyfriend to Columbus. And then when she got here, things didn't work out, and now she's homeless. I met someone who got out of prison, and now they're trying to get back on the right track. I met someone, and this is true, I actually looked them up. But I met somebody that used to run track at USC, the University of Southern California. Okay, a student athlete in a school that has less than a 12% acceptance rate. And then due to some unfortunate events, due to this broken world, she finds herself needing food every Tuesday when we're down there. You see, these stories can be overwhelming sometimes, but it's so amazing to hear them talk about their faith in God, their faith, and how their faith has been tested, but it's come out true, and just what the sinful world is capable of, and yet they are still positive, and they're still looking after God and still searching for Him. It's amazing. But you know what? Here's the deal. You don't have to go to Rose Hill to find someone who's struggling to keep the faith in this world. I see it every week with families that battle difficulties with their kids. You know, when the world just wants us just to give in and just let them do whatever they want. Or I see it when people lose their jobs and the stress is overwhelming and the world just tries to tell us we're not any good, or we have this feeling of failure, and how could God use me if I'm not, you know, if I just lost this over here. You know, I see it with marriages. I see it with marriages each and every week with people that are walking through this brokenness, and instead of trying to fight it out, you know, they look at the world and they look at the divorce statistics and they're like, you know, why even try? This world, I don't have to tell you this, but this world is tough. It's fallen. It's broken. And it's a battle, man. I feel like it's a battle each and every day to try to keep the faith, to try to maintain the faith. And you know what? Having faith in a sometimes what seems to be like a faithless world, having the faith and keeping the faith is something that Jesus was very concerned about. In fact, in Luke 18, look at what Jesus says. He says, when the Son of Man, which is another name for Jesus, when I come again, right? When I come, am I going to find faith on this earth? Like when he comes, is he going to find the faith that he's looking for? Like, is he going to find that faith, that outstanding faith in you or in me? Or is he going to find people that have just been broken by this world and just given in? Just going along with it. So going along with this verse, while we're at it, let me tell you what the Bible teaches about faithful people in this world. Number one, if you got your message notes, let's go ahead and fill in some blanks at the very top. And I know it looks like there's a lot. Somebody looked at those message notes this morning and like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be here forever. It's okay. It's all right. I'm going to move quickly through this, okay? So everybody online too, you can find the message notes on the app. You can follow along. Let's fill in that first blank. When it comes to faith in this world, God is looking for faithful people, number one. God is looking for faithful people. He is looking to bless those who love him and follow him. Let me share another verse that goes along with this point. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says this, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." The eyes of the Lord are looking. He's looking for faithful people to bless. God's desire is to work good in your life. The thing is, we have to be looking, we have to be giving our lives to him, right? Like, we have to be going after him. We got to make ourselves available to him. Which leads me to point number two. Point number two is this. Faithful people are extremely valuable. They are extremely valuable to God. God's looking for them, and then when he finds them, they are so valuable to him. And the reason I say this is because finding people with outrageous faith sometimes, it's rare. It's rare in the world around us. And when we find it, man, it sticks out. And it's so valuable. I remember hearing an interview somebody did one time, and they were talking about their faith in God. And they even talked about the blood of Jesus that covered their sins. And the Christians just went crazy. They were like, this is so great. And it was so rare to hear on TV. It's like, man, this is so valuable. In fact, Jesus would get so excited when he found somebody with great faith that he would stop what he was doing and he would point them out. He would recognize them in front of everybody. He'd call attention on them. In fact, there's this great story in Luke chapter 7. I'm not going to tell you the story. Maybe write Luke 7 down in the margin of your message notes and go home and read it later. But Jesus finds somebody, this Roman centurion, and he looks at this centurion and he just stops what he's doing and he says, I haven't seen faith, Luke 7:9, he says, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. He stops everybody and he's like, this is what I'm looking for. Like, God is looking, I am looking for faith. This is what it looks like. Everybody stop, pay attention to this guy. This is what it's all about. It's extremely valuable. Because point number three, the next one, is that faithful people, they're the ones that receive the victory, right? Remaining in your faith is the key to the problems that plague your life. Again, it's the way to receive God's blessing. It's the way to receive God's victory. John puts it this way in 1 John. He says this, we achieve this victory through our faith. We achieve victory through our faith. Who can win the battle against the world? You know what it's like. I know what it's like. John is like, everybody knows what the battle against this world is like. You can't win. Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God, those are the ones that receive the blessing. Those are the ones that get the victory. It's not by giving in to what the world says, to what the world does, to what the world teaches us. It's not by gaining more knowledge. Although that's not necessarily wrong, but it's not that way. That's not how you get the victory. It's not by having more money. Although that's not wrong either. What's wrong is when we put our faith in those things to bring victory in our life, right? That's not what we believe as Christian. We believe that faith in Jesus Christ is how we receive victory over the difficulties and the despair and the distress that we see in this world around us. So all that to say, God is looking for faithful people. Having faith is extremely valuable because that's where the victory is. So if that's the case, I gotta have faith in this world. I know that. You know that. What does it mean to have that type of faith that's a growing faith? Well, what does it mean for us to have that type of faith that God would look down when he's searching the earth? He's like, that's what I'm talking about. Right, that, this person, right here, in this moment. And this, that's what I want. Everybody, look around. I want you to pay attention right here. This is the kind of faith that I'm looking for. What does it mean for us to have that type of faith? And not just to have faith, but to have a growing faith. Because that kind of faith is valuable. And if that's what God is looking for, that's what I want to have. That's what you want to have. So let's talk about that for a minute. In order to talk about a faith that makes a difference in a difficult world, in order to talk about having a growing faith in this world and not letting this world win the battle, I want to go to a story in the Old Testament, the story of Daniel, okay? Daniel in the lion's den. If this is your first time in church, you've probably heard the story of Daniel in the lion's den. If you haven't, then you're in for a treat, okay? This is a great story. But the reason I land here today is because this story is so good about what it means to have a strong faith in what seems like a hopeless environment, like just a stressful situation, no hope, no possibilities. It was crazy. But because of some of the things Daniel did, his faith, I believe, grew stronger through it. So let me set this story up for you. Daniel was a prophet of God who had been captured by the Babylonians. He was living in a foreign land. In a foreign land that was consumed with idol worship, okay? Nobody was worshiping Daniel's God except for him and a few. But Daniel remained faithful to God nonetheless. And over time, it just so happens that the king, King Darius, the king is looking for a few good men to help him run the government. And he finds Daniel. Daniel sticks out. Daniel's a great example. And this king takes notice. And so let's read a little bit about this. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 1, here's how it goes. He says, Darius, the king, divided his kingdom into 120 states, and he placed a governor in charge of each one. And in order to make sure that his government was run properly, Darius put three other officials in charge of the governors. And one of those officials, the one that caught his eye, the one that he had heard about, the one that he had noticed, was Daniel. And he did his work so much better than the other governors and officials that the king decided to let him govern the whole kingdom. So the king heard about Daniel, noticed Daniel, and because of that, Daniel kind of rose through the ranks. The king put him in charge. He got 120 different states, you know. Gosh, that's a huge kingdom, right? You got to imagine that many governors over that many states, and yet here is Daniel in charge of them all. Daniel was a big deal in this moment. This brings me to point number one. How to grow your faith. Remember, he's in a foreign kingdom, idol worship. He probably feels like he's the only one having real faith in God. How to keep your faith and grow your faith in that kind of situation. Number one, be faithful with your gifts. Number one, write this down. Be faithful with your gifts. If you want to grow your faith, man, you got to be faithful with the way that God has gifted you to serve him. We got to realize God has given us certain talents to use for him. And if we're not using it, then we're missing out. He didn't give you those talents just for you to keep to yourself, right? He gave you those talents to be a blessing to him and to his kingdom. You see, there's nobody else like Daniel. He is one of a kind. And in the same way, let me remind you, you are created special in the eyes of God. There is only one of you. And you are created to do things that only you can do. Now, when I was thinking about this, I thought, you know, this is kind of interesting. Why would Daniel, being a captive, being taken away from his homeland, being in this foreign place, like, why would he agree? Why would he agree to serve the king? I mean, besides probably being killed if he said no, I mean, that's the obvious. But the second thing is, I really do believe that Daniel realized that he had been gifted, right? And if he used those gifts unselfishly to serve others, no matter where he was, no matter what he was doing, he would receive the benefit of it. His faith would grow. You see, I love seeing people take the challenge and step up and use their gifts for God's glory, because when they do, man, it's a tremendous catalyst. It is a tremendous catalyst for growth. And let me tell you what, we've got a great opportunity coming up. We're moving into our new space this fall, sometime this fall. Big question is when? I don't know yet. It's coming though. The stud walls are going up. The cement's already been poured. It's coming along great. We're so excited about it. And I got a new exciting detail to share with you at the close of the service. But between now and then, what we're doing is when we move, we're getting ready to go into two services in the new place. And we're going to need everybody's help. We're going to need you to serve one and worship one. And you can sign up on the app. In fact, I got the QR code right here. So if you take out your phone, do that camera thing, you know, and zoom in, this will take you to the volunteer section. And you can sign up. If you're not already serving, sign up to serve. We need everybody's help. And you know what? Make sure you're serving, okay? Make sure you're using your gifts. For two reasons. One is because not only does it help the church, but two, it grows your faith. You know this, when you serve, you come out of those serving opportunities and you're like, man, I got so much more out of that than the person did on the other end. You know, like, that was a blessing for me. That's how we're designed. And you know what? If you don't serve, you may lose it. And what I mean by that is your spiritual gift is like a muscle. Like, the more you use it, the stronger it gets, the better you get. But the less you use it, right? It's going to go away. It's gonna, you know, it's kind of like this right here, right? Like, not a whole lot there. Not using it like I should, right? Same thing with your spiritual gift. You got to use it and grow it, right? I believe Daniel's faith grew in this moment because I believe that he stretched himself and was willing to serve no matter what the situation was. Now, back to the story. When Daniel gets in charge, there's a problem brewing. Because here's what I've found in life. Is you can't give something to someone without everybody else getting upset. Have you ever noticed that? Like, somebody can't have something nice without other people getting upset about it. And that is exactly what happens to Daniel. All these other governors are like, why should he get that and not me? And they get upset. So they start scheming against Daniel. Look at verse 4. It says, the other men, they tried to find something wrong with the way Daniel did his work for the king. But they couldn't accuse him of anything wrong because he was honest. He was faithful, and he did everything he was supposed to do. The second way to grow your faith in this world is to be faithful with your witness. Be faithful with your witness. You want to grow your faith? Man, make every opportunity you have to be a bold witness for God. He's looking for that kind of example. Those are the ones that receive the blessing. Daniel had people all around him, like I said before. They're worshiping all these different types of gods. In fact, when we go to Israel, that trip, you'll see we'll be in a place where they have ledges in this formed in this rock where they had little idols in each one. And there must be like 30 on the side of this mountain. And you'll see just how many idols there were around in this area and in this time. He had people like that all around him. But he was faithful in his witness. And it really struck a chord with the king. And the king started to notice and he started to pay attention to Daniel and Daniel's God. So let me ask you this. What do you think? Like, at your work, at your school, in your environment, in your hobbies, wherever you are, with the people that you surround yourself with on a daily basis, like, are you using every opportunity you have to be a witness for Christ? And the reason for this question is because this is what our church is all about, right? We want more people to experience the Ridge. We want people to experience the power of Jesus Christ, like we say each and every Sunday. And why? Why do we want more people here? It's because the moment we stop bringing people to Jesus, the moment we stop our witness, man, we stop growing. I mean, I'm just not talking about the church like numerically. Man, I'm talking about our faith, like we stop growing in our faith. And I believe when we stop our witness, or if we aren't out there witnessing like we should, man, we miss the blessing, right? So try it. Be a faithful witness in how you present yourself and how you share about Christ with others. And if you do, your faith will grow. Okay, so back to the story. Daniel's enemies, man, they realized that because his witness was so strong for God, they got together and they said, you know, that's probably, we need to attack his God. Like, we need to attack him as he is serving his God because his faith is so strong. So they came up with a plan to get rid of Daniel, and here's how it went. They walked in one day and said to the king, they said, King, you're awesome. We think you're just incredible, and we think that everybody should take notice of that, and we say for the next month, everybody should only worship and pray and honor you. Forget about all those other idols out there. Forget about all those other gods. You're the one that's most important. So for the next month, all eyes on you. We should all pray to you. And the king, King Darius, he was like, well, I'm glad somebody finally noticed, right? He was like, that sounds like a great idea. I love it. So he puts this law into effect. And if they don't worship him, if they don't pray to him in the next 30 days, then they'll have to face the lions in the lion's den. So I think you see where this story is going if you've never heard it before. So verse 10, what does Daniel do? Verse 10, Daniel heard about the law. He knew what was going on. But when he returned home, he went upstairs and he did exactly what he's always done. He prayed in front of the window that faced Jerusalem. In the same way he had always done it, he knelt down in prayer. Three times, not just once, not just twice, three times a day, he prayed just like he always did, and thanks, giving thanks to God. Point number three in growing your faith is you got to be faithful in your disciplines. You got to be faithful in your disciplines, okay? You want to grow your faith? Be faithful in those little disciplines that we talk about here at the Ridge. Some of us, you know what's amazing is that some of us are so disciplined with certain things in life. For instance, I have a certain place that I always place my keys when I get home. Does anybody have that certain spot? Your keys always go in the same spot when you get home. Okay. How many of you don't have that spot and your keys are wherever you find them next in your house? Yeah, okay. There's usually one or the other in the house. But, true story, when I place my keys, if my keys aren't ever in that spot, what I do, I don't know if you do this, I blame everybody else for taking my keys and moving them because it couldn't have possibly been me because that's where I always put them, right? I'm about to start a family argument over here. Yep. But we're so disciplined with those certain things, you know. I know my keys aren't on me right now, but when they are and I'm carrying them around, they're in my right pocket. I feel weird if they're not in that. See, we're disciplined with certain things in life. You see, with Daniel, he was disciplined, even when it came to the small things. And this is what made Daniel's faith so great. This is what has made his faith grow. And why his relationship with God was so strong. Because, you know, some people read this story, and I'll be honest. I mean, reading this story, I'd be like, Daniel, it's only a month, man. I mean, maybe take a month off from praying. Or, instead of praying three times, maybe just pray once and go in your closet, right? Hide yourself a little bit. Daniel didn't do that. You could also look in Daniel's life at all the past prayers. Some people might say, well, all the past prayers that you've done could make up for and be good for the present. But you know what? That past faithfulness of David or Daniel praying was not compensation for the present. Rather, what it was doing is it was preparing him for this moment. This is what was growing his faith. Let me tell you this. God will use what may seem like little disciplines in your life to be big catalysts that grow your faith. And the reason I say that is because, you know, sometimes we think of those big moments that happen in life, those big moments that are big catalysts for faith and life. You know, you got a big moment, you got this big obstacle, and somebody stands up and is like, I'll do it for the Lord. You know, like David and Goliath, I'll be the one. And that big moment leads to big faith. And that's true, but I also think that real leadership, real faithfulness, it's not just built on those big moments in life. It's built on what many probably consider to be those small disciplines, those daily disciplines in our life. And Daniel wasn't going to give that up. And because he didn't give it up, because he stuck with it, those disciplines, man, they strengthened his faith. Maintain your disciplines. and see if it doesn't grow your faith. You want to know why you're not feeling it anymore? I always get that question. I'm just not feeling. You know why you're not feeling it anymore? It's because you're not doing. It's like in the book of Revelation, the church that lost their feeling, lost their faith. He said, return back to what you used to do when your faith was strong. Return back to those disciplines. Get back in it. Get back into reading his word. Get back into worship on Sundays. Get back into praying each and every day. You do those things, your faith will grow. It will. So, back to Daniel. The enemies of Daniel, they knew what they were doing, and they knew that he was going to stay disciplined with his prayers. So they find him, and they catch him praying. Not to King Darius, but to God. And so they bring him before the king, and they say, King, he's broken the law. You got to do what you said you're going to do. And King Darius was upset. He was upset not because Daniel broke the law. He was upset because he liked Daniel. He was like, oh, Daniel, why are you putting me in this position? And he even went back to see if the courts could like do something, but the court came back and they said, no, even the king can't override a law that's been put in place. So he's like, I got to throw you in the lion's den. So verse 16, so Darius ordered Daniel to be brought out and to be thrown into a pit of lions. But he said to Daniel, look at this, it's great. He says, you've been faithful. You've been so faithful to your God. And I pray that faith pays off and that he rescues you. And so after he says this, the Bible goes on to say that King Darius didn't sleep at all that night. He just tossed and turned. Verse 19, at daybreak, the king got up and he ran to the pit. He was so anxious and he shouted, Daniel, you were faithful and served your God. Was he able to save you from the lions? And you can feel the tension in this moment, right? Before I tell you what happened to Daniel, let's get to this last point, point number four. Be faithful in your tough moments. Be faithful in the pit. Sometimes this world just feels like the pits. I mean, just feels like we're in the pit. Daniel's literally in the pit of life. These lions, they're here for one reason, and that's to be the death penalty. But listen to what the king is like, you've been faithful. My hope is that God will rescue you. It's almost like he's saying, Daniel, remain faithful. And let's see, even in this moment, even in this tough situation, let's see what God can do. You see, the difference, man, faithful people, the kind of faith that God is looking for, are those people that just keep on keeping on. Faithful people are determined, they're diligent, they're persistent. A faithful person is like a little acorn. You know, an oak tree is just a little acorn that refused to give up and just kept growing and growing. Do you know, when I think about this church and I think about the faithfulness, I think about the people that helped start this church so long ago. And we started in that cheerleading facility. And for those of y'all that were with us, man, you know how difficult this was. It was so difficult setting up all the pipe and drape and the chairs and moving the cheerleading mats and dealing with the smell, which is another thing. It was so tough that until we figured out how to really do it, we met on Saturdays. We would meet on Saturdays in the hot summer to set all that up so it would be ready for Sunday morning. And I'll be honest with you, it was tough. And I was in the moment of that, I was like, what have I done? Like, what have I signed up for? And I'd be lying if I didn't think every now and then, is this really what God's called me to, like, is this really what I'm supposed to do? But I had faith, and the team had faith, and we didn't know how to stop. We just kept moving forward. And I wonder if God was using that moment to test me, to test us, and to see if we were going to remain faithful. And God used those first six months, man, just to grow my faith and to grow the faith of those that were helping launch this and to just build and start that foundation. You know what? You know what makes me sad? What makes me sad is when people are so quick to give up on their faith. Or they're quick to give up on their church. You know, people meet a little bit of resistance, and instead of digging in, staying committed, helping out, they give up. And it hurts me personally, of course, but it also hurts me because I know what God is trying to do in that moment. Like, I know what God can do in this tough moment. And maybe, just maybe, they're missing out on something really spectacular if they'd stay faithful. You see, I think God uses those tough moments in order to teach diligence and determination and to build character. And if there's a problem, and if you're going through something right now, and I don't know what you're going through right now, but I know that we all go through those things, like I said a few weeks back. We're either just coming out of something or in the middle of something, or we're going to be going into something. It's just part of living in this broken world. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. Will you continue to serve in that moment? Will you continue to seek God even in the pit? If you do, you'll be strengthened. Your faith will strengthen. This is what Daniel did. Let's finish this out. Verse 23, it says this. The king was so relieved to hear Daniel's voice. Daniel was still alive. And he gave orders for him to be taken out of the pit. And Daniel's faith in his God had kept him from being harmed in that awful moment. You see, having a growing faith in a faithless world kept him safe. And not only that, but man, it strengthened his faith. And not only did it strengthen his faith, but it strengthened his faith for the entire nation. The entire nation. From that point on, King Darius looked at Daniel's faith and he saw how valuable that faith was in God in this stressful situation, in this broken world. And he immediately told the rest of the kingdom, everybody else, don't worship anything else. We are going to worship Daniel's God from now on. Daniel's God is now everybody's God. What an impact he made. So, let me close out with this. Let me just close by saying, be a Daniel. Be a Daniel. Right? I want us to be able to stand up, have the faith that we need in what seems to be sometimes just a faithless world. And not just any faith, but man, a growing faith that wins the battle for Jesus. Let's pray together. God, we know that you're looking for faithful people. And you want us to be faithful because, God, you love us. Your desire is to bless us. Your desire is to use us in your kingdom. We understand your word says that faithfulness is the key to victory in this world. So, God, help us. Help us keep the faith. And not just keep the faith, but to grow our faith, to grow our faith as we remain disciplined. God, help us remain disciplined in those little things that strengthen our relationship with you. And God, grow our faith by using us to be a witness for your kingdom. God, grow our faith by giving us opportunity to use our talents and to serve you for your glory. God, open our eyes so that we can see just how much serving others can be a catalyst for our own personal growth. And God, I pray that you would grow our faith even in those extremely difficult times. Those times that this world just wants to capture us, weigh us down. Those times where it just feels overwhelming. God, help us to push through that testing and use it. Let it be used as an opportunity to draw closer to you. God, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to live out our faith and to bring the gospel to the world around us. God, use us. We want to be valuable in your sight for you and your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen. Amen.